Page 224. When I call your name, I want you to stand and read a verse. Not sing it. Just read it. Okay? Jenna? Read that first verse. Didn't I get that right? Jenna? Well, okay. That's why I don't call people by name. But I want you to read that first verse.
All
of it. Yeah, and read it loud, honey.
Okay, because I'm loud anyway. I've found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you.
All right, second. That's good. No, that's good.
Well, that's the chorus.
Brenda, read that second verse.
Leaning strong on his mighty arm, I know he'll guide me all the way.
All right. Helen, read that third verse.
When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me, and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally.
Yeah. You know, so many times we sing a song. I even know most of them when they call out the page number. I can tell you what the song is because I've been singing them since I was 8 years old. But so many times we just sing the song. You know, the title of that song is Saved, Saved. And those verses tell you what it means to be saved. You know, we're fastly going away from that. We've changed the verbiage. We have tried to become too smart for our own good, too intellectually sound for our own good. This song was written in 1939. That's 70 years ago. 80 years ago. Thank you. My math's bad. 80 years ago. Whoever wrote this 80 years ago knew what it was to experience salvation. And it's not changed. Those same words that Gina. I'll get it. Don't worry. My wife says, honey, you'll get it. Those same words that she read. Those same words that Brenda read. Those same words that Helen read. They're still true. They've not changed. He's still our best friend. And then the verse, saved by his power divine, saved to a new life sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete. I don't know what that man or woman, if it tells. Yeah, it's Robert. So, I don't know what his history was. I don't know what his life was before salvation. But I know what salvation did for him. Changed him. We're getting away from that. We're getting away from this idea that if you truly get saved, you're going to get changed. You're not going to keep one foot in and one foot out. You're not going to hover in the world one day and with the Lord the next day. You're going to get changed. Because it says in the verse, or the chorus, we're saved by His power. And it's a divine power. It took a divine power to save you, Dwayne. You couldn't save yourself. Took a divine power to save you. Couldn't save yourself. Took a divine power to save you. You couldn't save yourself. But we're getting away from that. I'll tell you where the biggest churches are, where they're getting away from that. People don't want change. They just want to feel better. Let's face it. They just want to feel better about themselves. Keep doing what they were doing. Keep being what they were. Keep saying what they used to say. Keep acting like they used to act. But just say, well, yeah, I know the Lord. I'm saved. I talked to an old boy the other day. He's a dear, dear friend of mine. I believe he is saved. I do. And he said, I'm trying to walk that narrow. I said, son, quit trying. That's your problem. You can't try hard enough to walk it. But if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, bless God, you're going to walk it. You ain't trying to walk it. You're walking it. And every now and then the flesh comes in and you stumble and fall, but you keep walking it. You don't go away from it. You keep walking it. Why? Because there's a divine power that saved you, Will, but it's a divine power that lives inside you too. It's a divine power that empowers you and me and everyone else that can sing that song. So the next time we sing that song, would you do me one favor? Would you sing it just as loud as you can? Not so people will hear you. So it'll get all the way to heaven and give the glory where it belongs for the person you are, and give the glory where it belongs for who you are and what you have. I don't know your history. I know mine. I wasn't worth saving. You say, but Tom, your dad was a preacher. I wasn't worth saving, folks. But see, you say, Tom, you was raised in the church. I wasn't worth saving. I wasn't worth, Gene. I'm not trying to be over humble either, but I wasn't worth one drop of his blood. Not one. I know my history. If you think I'm emotional most of the time, bless God, it's because I know. I know what He saved me from, Will. I know what it means to be saved, Jenna. Did I get that right? I ain't got it right yet, have I? We'll talk later and I'll get it right. Bless God, I can't get anything right. That's why I don't call people by name. Won't get it right. Call him Chris half time, then him Ron.
Just call me Trouble.
Huh?
Just call me
You know, the Bible says that some sow and some water. But what's that third part? But God adds the increase. Well, here's what that means. God does the saving. I can't save you and you can't save me. I can only throw out there and pour out there what will save a person. I can't prepare Graham, folks. I can't till you up. I can't till anybody up. I can't prepare your ground. Every person in this world is responsible for their own ground. They're responsible to see what kind of ground this seed falls on, this water's poured on. And the Bible says, I read it to you last week, if you in Luke, that when it falls on good ground, it is a man or a woman with a good heart. Now that doesn't mean that the ones that get saved got a good heart and the ones that don't get saved got a bad heart. No, what that's talking about is it's a person that believes what they hear and receives what they hear. It doesn't do any good for you to believe something if you don't receive something, right? And you can't receive something if you don't believe something. So what it's saying is if that person, that man, that woman, that boy or that girl that's sitting there and the seed is thrown out, they'll just grab hold and believe it and receive it. You know what happens? The seed does the work. Think about that. You didn't till your ground up, bless God. When you received that seed started working and digging and getting down in there and making that soil good and pouring on water so it would bring some 100, some 60, and some 30. But there's none that says none. It's going to produce. You say, Tom, what are you talking about? Well, our pastor has been talking about working in the garden. I know nothing about working in the garden. I tried one like I told you. Wasn't real successful at it. I'm not a gardener. But I do know that when seed gets in the ground and water gets on it, it brings forth. Now, why does it do that? Well, because in Genesis, God said that's what it would do. Hey, he said the seed would bring forth. And he says to men and women, go forth and multiply with seed. The seed of a man planted in the womb of a woman brings forth fruit. Not for any other reason than God said so. That's why Muncie Memorial's wrong. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not judging them, folks. But I don't care what Methodist church it is. When you try to come up with five ways around the Word of God to accept homosexuality, bless God, you're wrong. I don't give a rip if I was a member in that church. I'd either say we're going to change or I'm leaving. Because it's about what God says. And I read the article. And I was very careful to read the article. And I'll tell you what was missing in the article. God. Sin. Listen, it's not about a mission. Our mission, bless God, is to do this. Cast the seed. Pour the water. But you better be casting the right seed and the right water. Otherwise, there'll be nothing come up, folks. And to think that they would say that they're against it, but anyone can join the church. Now, come on. I'm not judging them. God judges everyone, folks. I'll teach, bless God, and if you don't like the way I teach, don't have to come back. Well, that's true. I've been saying it for 30 years that I've been teaching, if you've been listening.
I still like the way you teach.
The what?
I still like the way you teach.
Oh, okay, good. Now, where was I?
You're throwing seed.
Oh, yeah, okay. It makes a huge difference on the seed you throw. You can't just say our mission is. Our mission is to give out this book. This book. It's not about getting members. Although I'm glad we got new members. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If Shirley thinks joining this church is going to save her, she's not been listening to me. Joining this church gets you nothing except baking cakes. Because that's all half of men want is a baked cake. But to say anyone can join the church, what does that mean? Well, that means your church is not the church. lest you cast me a stone. This church ain't the church either, folks. Let me tell you something. That's why I say joining this church gets you nothing. Listen, we're glad to have anybody joins. But it won't, if you think it's going to get you something, you're wrong. So we can't say. Now listen, and you've heard me say it. I welcome gays anytime through those doors. They're welcome here. I'll be the first one to shake their hand and welcome. But I'll be the first one to give them that book right there. It'll either change them or it'll drive them away. But I'm not going to change how I teach because I think that's the thing to do in what century are we in? The 22nd or 21st or, you know, whatever century we're in. You know, you've heard that, haven't you? Well, Tom, that was in the 19th century. Well, I got news for you. That man wrote that in the 20th century. And it's still good in the 21st century, folks. Saved, saved, saved. Now, you say, Tom, what's that got to do with anything? It's got to do with everything. Because I'm going to start in the book of Isaiah. Now, do you know what the theme of the book of Isaiah is? Salvation. But before we go to Isaiah, as you well know, I never start where I'm starting. I always start where I'm starting. Right? Go to Psalms, if you will. Go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3. Now, what's the name of the song we sang? What is the theme of Isaiah? What is the seed that we cast out? What is the water that we pour on? What does the seed of God and the Word of God bring forth? What's the fruit? Salvation. Y'all get it now? We'll get that. All right. Here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? You ever been there? Lord, here I am. Chapter 1, chapter 3 and verse 1. Here I am, Lord, trying to obey you and walk in your word and walk upright before you. How is it they're troubling me? Many are they that rise up against me. I'm going to tell you something. If you stand for this book, you'll find trouble, and you'll find many that rise up against you, and probably in your own family. But that's why Jesus said, except you love me more than them, you won't be my disciple. You're going to have to make your choice. Is it me or is it your family? Is it me or is it your friends? Can your family save you? Can your friends save you? Your foe certainly wouldn't save you. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now listen, if you're listening at all, folks, to the world, you hear that. You may not hear it verbatim. You may not hear it word for word right there, but you hear the theme of it. God's a crutch for us, Gene. We can't make it on our own, so we've got this fictitious God. We've got this mythical God that props us up, that is our crutch. Well, here's the answer for them. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Well, what does that imply?
Shield you from your enemies.
Huh?
Shield you from your enemies.
Well, it implies you need a shield. Mm-hmm. Well, what you need a shield from what? Well, your enemies and what your enemies throwing at you. Well, the Bible says that your main enemy, Satan, is throwing fiery darts. And we're to be putting on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand the wild devil, the deception of the devil, the deceivings of the devil. Folks, you have to be careful what you read as religious and a equate it with the Word of God. A lot of it's of Satan. Look, Satan knows he can't reach people outside religion. Right? Because God's made us to be religious. God's made us to believe in a God. In Him. But Satan will use that till you can believe in any. It was on a YouTube or something. They were interviewing Joel Osteen. Now, in one other interview, he had said that he didn't think that Jesus was the only way, and he caught a lot of. Thank you, and. So this interview, the guy says, now I want to ask you, he says, you know, you have said in the past that Jesus is the only way. I mean, Jesus is not the only way. Do you still say that? Well, and he started stuttering. I was wrong about that. I do say that Jesus is the only way, but I don't judge anyone. Now, the question wasn't, do you judge anyone? God does the judging. We all know that. I don't judge anyone. I don't condemn anyone. That wasn't the question. The question is, are you going to stand up there and say, listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Bless God, that's true for Muslims, for Christians, for Hindus, for Jews, for anybody else, it's true. Doesn't make any difference. So he says, but thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I can't tell you how many times God's raised my head, folks. Since 1982, I can't tell you how many times he's raised my head. I don't want the world, brother. can't raise my head. They'll just push my head farther down. They'll send me to Dr. Phil, bless God. Well, guess what? His head ain't up either. And that's not against him. That's just saying, I don't want the world's way of getting my head up. You know what gets my head up? When my head's down. Every morning when that head's down, boy, and I get into that word, you know what happens to that head? It starts getting up. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I did the same thing last night, David. I went to sleep after that pathetic ball game. I went to sleep. I slept like a baby. And a quarter to six, I waked. And I got up. You know who woke me?
Good wife.
The Lord. Oh. The same one that let me go to sleep. You know what? I take my next breath. You know why? Because he gives it to me. You say, oh, Tom, that's how you're made. You're made. You breathe. It's involuntary muscles. No, it's not. It's God letting you take your next breath. If you get past that, you're getting past God. Wasn't that what Daniel told Belshazzar? God, in whose hand is thy breath. And I've told you many times, you better hope he don't do that right there. Because there won't be a next one. I had a friend. And I don't mean this to be mean or anything. I had a really good friend. And he was on his way to California to one of these toy shows. And as was his usual way of doing things, he stopped off in Texas with some other friends to play golf. And he's on the 13th hole, I believe it was. Don't quote me on it. Could have been the 12th or 13th. One of those holes. And if you know anything about golf, I always say first in gets a pin. You know, if you're the first one to get your ball in the hole, you go over and get the pin, and then when the last person's putted, you put the flag in. Well, Mark putted out, and he picked up the pin. And he goes over after the last man puts, and he puts his pin in the hole and drops backward dead. No warning, no nothing. You say, but what happened to the involuntary muscles? No, God closed the hand, folks. When God closes his hand, the muscles won't work. I mean, you hear people. I had another good friend. He's driving home from work in Elizabethton. He starts to feel just a little something. He pulls over, and he barely gets off the road. Gone! So don't take for granted what God gives you. Your next breath. And when you wake up in the morning, if you do, thank him. Otherwise, you wouldn't have woken up. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, what verse could I grab hold of in the New Testament would help me just stand on that? Give me a verse. It's in the New Testament. If the Lord be for you, who can be against you? What does that say to you? What does that say to you? He's all you need. You say, but Tom, I need Shirley. Tom, I need Helen. I know that. But all you need is God, because Shirley can't help Helen, and Helen can't help Shirley on godly things. They're divine things. And so he says, arise, O Lord. Save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And then what does it say? Now I gave you three words that are synonymous with salvation last week. Someone tell me what. By the way, let me ask. Anyone heard about Pam? Is she still sick?
She's gone to see her granddaughter to get baptized this morning.
Well, no, that's good. That's okay. That's fine. I just want to know if she's still sick. Okay. Okay. Because I looked there, and she's always taking notes. And so I knew she'd be looking down to get those three things. But I gave you three words that are synonymous with salvation last week. What are they?
Shackled, touched, and saved.
What?
Shackled, touched, and saved.
Okay, that's close. The first one is deliverance. The second one is rescue. And the third one is freedom. Now the Bible says this, Jesus said in fact, whom the Son shall make free, he is free indeed. Now that word free, it's an interesting word in the Greek. Here's what it means. It means to be free of all liability. Now, Sandy, she comes to visit me at my house. Probably won't. My hypothetical. She comes to visit me at my house. We've had an icy day. I didn't get out and clean out my walk. She falls. She sues. Hypothetically. She sues me. She sues me because her attorney says that because Tom did not clean his walkway knowing that he had had this ice, therefore he is liable or responsible. And he must pay. Let me tell you something. If a person leaves this world unsaved, they are liable. And responsible. And they must pay. You know who tells them that? Their attorney.
Satan.
No. Jesus is, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, and the word mediator means lawyer or go-between. The only person that can go to court and get you out of your liability, bless God, is your good attorney, Jesus. Otherwise, you are going to be found liable, and the wages of sin, the payment for sin, the liability for sin is death. So next time someone wants to sort of make a light thing about hell, you know, we're into that, folks. You know, oh, what the hell. I'll tell you what the hell. When you get there, you'll think what the hell. But see, Satan is so deceiving that he, and we sort of grin about it, and we sort of laugh at it, and we sort of slough it off. It's not funny. It's not funny. Please don't laugh at it. If someone says that around you, say, brother, sister, I know you didn't mean any disrespect, but you better change your idea of hell. Because that's what you're going to have to pay with. They could ask the rich man if they could about hell. What would he say to them? What would he say to them? Well, that's one thing he said to them. Go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers what? Why? It's no big deal. I mean, what the hell? No, he didn't say that at all. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Please go tell my brothers. This is nothing to joke about. This is nothing to use a curse word about. This is serious stuff. This is the liability for sin. And if you don't have salvation, you won't be free. And if you're not free, you're going to have to. Thank you. Look at Psalms 21. Put me a clock up. Or 23, I'm sorry. Or not 23. 27. I'll get right in a minute. Well, see, I don't go by notes. I just go by where it is. I know where it is, and sometimes I get on the wrong page. Here's what it says. The Lord is my
light.
Now, what does that infer? What inference is made there? If you don't have him, you're in
darkness.
See, that's, folks, listen, that's part of the seed that we have to throw out. If you don't tell a person that in sin you're in darkness, they will never appreciate the fact that you tell them about Jesus the light. I mean, look, if you went home tonight and it's pitch black dark outside and you throw on the light and it don't come on, you immediately start to appreciate light, because otherwise you're going to be like me last Sunday morning. You're going to fall down those steps in the dark. There's just one light, folks. There's not two lights. There's not three lights. There's not four lights. One. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I light every man that cometh into the world. But what does he say about hell? He says it's a place of darkness. So the next time someone wants to be flippant about hell, maybe they ought to think for a minute about living forever in total darkness. Now that'd be bad enough. I hate darkness. Oh, God, I hate it! But to be tormented in it? You know, being tormented would be bad enough, wouldn't it? But what if he's tormented with you? What if she's tormented with you? You know, it's bad enough you have to be tormented yourself. The Bible says that everyone there is going to be tormented. And they're going to gnash on each other. They're going to gnash on themselves with their teeth. You know what that implies? Well, sort of, but not sort of. Anybody ever been so angry that you just put them teeth together and start grinding them?
Is that what gnashing is?
Yeah. And you know who they're going to be angry at?
God.
You know why they're going to be angry at him? Because he's angry with him here. And remember I told you in Revelation, a tree that falleth, so shall it lie. Let him that is unjust be unjust still. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. People don't come to God because they're angry with God. They don't like the way God says it's going to be. They want it to be the way they want it to be. Therefore, they're angry with him. But I got news for them. They're not just angry at him. He's angry at them. The Bible says that he is angry with the sinner every day. And you know what happens to that anger, John? Do you know what happens to that anger? Think about it. Now, John, I want you to think. We just sang a song that was how many years old, honey?
80.
Thank you. 80 years old. Look, I'll be 71 my birthday. There's so much gone by, I can't remember much of it. My mind's just not there anymore. I wish it was. My wife, boy, I tell you what, John, I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. She remembers everything.
Mine too.
And I say, honey, can't you forget that? No.
That's right.
But what happens is, every day, the sins of man pile up. And you know what sin causes in God? Anger. Anger. So as their sins pile up, his anger piles up. And one of these days, all that anger, all that anger that's been held in by grace and mercy and love, all that anger that's been held back, that's been behind the dam of mercy, is going to break. And God's going to pour out anger on this world for all those who wouldn't believe. And hell will be hot. And it won't be anything to laugh about. There won't be any parties in hell, folks. There won't be any laughing and crying and going on. There'll be mourning and weeping and gnashing their teeth, angry at God. I'll tell you this and I'm done. 1 second. Hold on, kids. I'm done. Almost done. What does anger do to you? Makes you bitter. What does bitterness do to you? Oh, it makes you resentful. What does resentfulness do to you? I'll tell you what it does. It destroys you. It'll destroy you mentally, physically, emotionally. You can't have relationships because you're resentful. You're bitter. That's why God says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because when you do, you'll wake up the next morning worse than when you went to sleep. Get rid of it. So the next time he does something that you don't like, please make it right before your eyes close. Why? Because God says so. Folks, we need to live how God says so. Don't listen to this world. It's broken more homes. It's hurt more children. It's destroyed more lives than you could ever count. But God's never done it once. God's never broke a home. God's never hurt a child. God's good. And you know what salvation brings? The goodness of God. No resentment, no bitterness, no anger. The love of God inside you. That's what salvation is. Well, we'll pick up our next week. We're going to get to Isaiah, honey. Don't you worry.